Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich, celebrating the creative talents here in the world of broadcasting, theater, voiceover, writing, and beyond. A chance for me at times to reconnect with old friends and bring their fascinating stories to you. Today, I am thrilled to welcome just such an old friend indeed, Brad Meltzer, international best-selling author of thrillers such as The Tenth Justice, The Inner Circle, The Book of Fate, and several inspiring books for kids, including two series that I love, Heroes for My Son and Heroes for My Daughter. Brad has also hosted and produced hit shows on television, including Lost History and Decoded. Today, we're going to talk about his latest book, one I couldn't put down, The Escape Artist, loaded with some really cool things you're going to learn about. So, Brad, we go back a long way. Every time I see any reference to Superman, I think of the first time we met and talked about restoring Superman's house in Cleveland. But here you are with the 20th anniversary of you as a writer. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. It means we got old together, my friend.
Well, it beats the alternative, no question. The Escape Artist is your latest. And I got to tell you, man, it's just so cool to read about the current day characters you invent and the old school characters of history that we just can't live without, including Harry Houdini. So tell us briefly, without giving any real plot points away, what's happening in this book?
Yeah, so the book opens with Nola Brown, and Nola's dead. The government says she died in a plane crash. But as our hero, Zig, is putting her body to rest, he realizes that there's a note secretly hidden inside the body. And the note says, "Nola, you were right. Keep running." And he quickly realizes Nola isn't dead. This isn't Nola's body. This is the body of someone else. Nola's out there. She's still alive. She's on the run. And she's crossed the one person she's never supposed to cross. And she is the escape artist. She is truly coming back from what is seeming like death, but is really life. But the book itself opens, and I always build my thrillers, that's the fictional part, around the real part. And again, to ruin page one of the book, I'll read you page one of The Escape Artist. And it says, in 1898, John Elbert Wilkie, a friend of Harry Houdini, was put in charge of the United States Secret Service. Wilkie was a fan of Houdini and did his own tricks himself. It is the only time in history that a magician was in control of the Secret Service. And Jordan, how could I not get caught up in that?
I know you too well by now, having read you and having known you and interviewed you over the years. That is ripe for the picking for Brad Meltzer. And you just glanced over it, but I'll have you tell us a bit more about Zig, your character, a mortician, but not just any mortician, but one who's working at a very honored, hallowed ground kind of place, and that is Dover Air Force Base. How did you find Zig and develop him and bring him to the story?
Yeah, you know, for me, I was on a USO trip in the Middle East of all places a number of years ago, almost 6 years ago. And when I came back from that, it was where I really started to explore Dover Air Force Base. And I'd heard of Dover, that, you know, that's where the bodies of our soldiers get laid to rest. But what I didn't realize is it's not just them. It's also victims of the Challenger space shuttle. The victims in 9/11 of the Pentagon flight went to Dover. The victims on the USS Cole, any mass fatalities, big cases, and even more than that, secret spies, what they call the secret squirrels, our CIA agents, the people who are undercover for the United States, their bodies also go there too. And that means that Dover as a location is a building full of secrets, is a building full of mysteries. And again, I just thought I need to go inside there and was very lucky that Dover gave me almost unprecedented access to see what was inside there.
And the way you describe the characters, I know this is based on the truth, the intent to do right, to make these fallen soldiers or victims, to give them some sense of wholeness, despite the fact that they're dead, so that their families and that the country can have a last chance to be with it. They take it with so much seriousness and reverence, don't they?
Yeah, you know, listen, we look around in our country today, so much is a mess, but this is the no-fail mission of the government. At Dover, you don't mess it up. This is someone's son. This is someone's daughter. And so they will work 14 hours rebuilding someone's face so that a mother can say goodbye and see their child one last time. They don't just close the casket and have a closed casket burial. They'll go and they'll rebuild, and this is a true story, someone's hand, because a mother said she wanted to hold her son's hand one last time. And they're artists. I mean, that's where the escape artist, that's one of the places it comes from, not just Houdini, but their ability to truly be artists at rebuilding these people who have fallen and have made the ultimate sacrifice. And one of the things that I was marveled at is how inspiring it was. They don't believe that they're ghosts. They don't believe in the supernatural. They think the bodies are shells. And they work on those shells not for the dead. They work on them for the alive, for those who are alive, for those who are left behind, us. And my gosh, to bring peace to a family that never expects to get peace again. And that just inspired me on every level.
So here we have a thriller in the first degree that also teaches us, as most of your books do, about institutions we're not as familiar with, whether it be in previous books like the Library of Congress or in this case, Dover Air Force Base. And you mentioned artist, it's in the title. And let's talk about the Army's Artist in Residence Program. One of your characters who's central is Nola, and that's what she does. And people may be surprised to know that it's a little old school. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I was filming our TV show for the History Channel and H2 called Lost History. And we were filming, they wanted to have someplace that was a little bit more military based because we were looking for the 9/11 flag, which we were thrilled to find. But when we were filming the episode, we're in this museum, an Army museum out in Virginia. And I'm looking around on the walls and there's all this artwork. There's posters and paintings by generals and paintings by Adolf Hitler had paintings there. And I was going, why does the U.S. military need all this art? It made no sense to me. And they took me to the back room to the home of what they called the artist in residence. And what people don't realize, I certainly didn't realize, is that since World War I, the U.S. Army has had an actual painter on staff who races into disasters and paints them. So whether it's the beaches on Normandy, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's 9/11, that's who got through the security corridor is actually our artist in residence. And I thought, I got to meet him. And they said, you mean you want to meet her? And I realized that this woman, while everyone else was charging in with their guns on their side, the artist in residence in the U.S. Army was charging into that same disaster area. And the only thing in her pockets were a bunch of paintbrushes and colored pencils. I thought, that's the craziest person in the whole world. Mm. I must meet them. And I built Nola, our wonderful new character, around her. She's the star of The Escape Artist.
And Brad, what does it tell us about our visual sense when you've got video that's instantaneous and you can download pictures in an instant, but there's something very unique and special and old school. I keep coming back to that term about an artist taking a paintbrush or a pencil to paper. It's a different kind of approach.
It really is, you know, and we have videographers now and we have photographers, right? You mentioned, and they can obviously show you exactly what happened. But what an artist can do and what a painter can do is not just show you what happened. They can tell a story. They can make a knapsack bigger. They dilate your eyes. They can show you an exhaustion in a way that a picture may not capture in that moment. And they become storytellers. And I actually love the fact that for all these years, again, dating back to World War I, we've had this on staff. And this, you know, just imagine, it used to be a multiple, you know, depending on the war, there are sometimes more than one, but at least one person is out there with a paintbrush just saying, this happened and we must learn from it. And my God, I feel like that's so important today.
The amount of research you do, I know you're a lover of this stuff, but it really ties you up. The fact that you've published so many books is amazing because there's so much research. For instance, your character is Zig, who's the mortician. He knows everything about the human body because he puts them back together. So in the inevitable fight scene, he knows what part of the body is going to be impacted if he touches you here. I'm pointing to my clavicle.
Right. No, I mean, listen, the one thing I learned about morticians is they're masters of anatomy. If you know how to build something together, you know how to take it apart. And most important for my hero, Zig, is he knows where the weakest spots are in the body. Mm. And my God, they were the most fun fight scenes to write because it's not just punch him in the face. Zig's like, why punch him in the face? I'll show you exactly where to punch him to do the most damage. And the funny thing was, Jordan, is I would call the real Zig and the other people that I kind of based him on. And I would just say, what would you do? Where's the weak spot? And I didn't make it up. They would tell me, they know. So it was just this incredible research opportunity. I will never fight the same way again, I think.
I want to ask you again about Houdini and the fact that there's a lot of Houdini reference here and a lot of history about him that you did research. And one of the things, of course, has to do with his approach to spiritualism and the fact that most of us have heard the rumor that he wanted to come back and gave hints and special code words to his friends and family. But he also was very much opposed to those who were taking advantage of people in the spiritual arts, wasn't he?
Yeah, no. Houdini lost his mother, lost his father, never got over the death of his mom. It just wrecked him. And at the time, that time in the country was right after World War I. There were so many sons who were lost in the war that spiritualists pop up. They were people who were said they could speak to the dead, they could speak to the future. And I know that seems so silly now, but back then, they really preyed on people's missing relatives. And so Houdini's shows, although we know them as of course being an escape artist, the other part of his show was actually defrauding and showing how fake these spiritualists were. And he would, and I won't ruin the book, but you'll see in the book that Harry Houdini had his own secret service, that worked just for him, that would go into town undercover and figure out kind of everyone's secrets. And I just was like, that's fantastic. I got to write about that. But one of the things I loved that I found is that when Harry Houdini, before he died, he was so obsessed with kind of coming back from the dead that he gave all of his, in his Secret Service and all the people he was close to, he gave them code words. So Jordan, you got a code word and another friend got a code word and your parent would get a code word that if you came back from the dead and there was someone talking to you from the great beyond, you would use this code word so Harry Houdini would know this is the real person as opposed to they're BSing me. And the word that he gave to his mother, this is the woman who he always wished he could have back, the word he gave to her was a single word. Her code word was forgive. And it is good advice. We all need to forgive ourselves. We all need to make sure that we do a little better at that. That's the way you heal the world.
Your website is terrific, of course. It has all of your activities. I love that quote that I read on the front page a few days ago. I don't know if it's still there, about our frailties. And that's what this book really points out. The heroes are struggling with trauma, with loss, with pain, just like all of us do. And when we read a thriller, particularly one that has so much research going in, we want to read about people we can identify with, don't we?
I mean, for me, I can, you can blow up buildings and have people shoot everyone and that. I guess that's fine. And for some people, that's all you need. But for me, what I write in every book is something that I'm dealing with personally. And the best heroes are the ones where we see ourselves. The greatest part of reading is that you get to look through someone else's eyes, as someone once said. And I love that I get to look through my character's eyes, but I love that the readers get to look through my eyes. And you get to see my view of the universe, and you get to see Zig's view of the universe and Nola's view of the universe and even Houdini's view of the universe. And when you do, I feel like if you really have a good book, you learn something about yourself. That's the most authentic story we'll ever tell, is our own story. So that's what's built into The Escape Artist. It's what I'm dealing with at that moment in time. And the one thing I know, Jordan, after all these years, is I'm not that special. That what I'm struggling with is the same thing that you're struggling with, the same thing that all of us are struggling with. We are all of us amazingly brave and amazingly terrified. We're all amazingly cowards and we're all amazingly incredible. We are all of us doing it sometimes on the same day, sometimes within the same hour. And that's what makes us human.
Thanks for paraphrasing and providing me with the semblance of that quote that really touched me when I saw it. Before I let you go, since this podcast is about the performance arts and writing and music and vocalization, let's talk about your TV career. Where does it stand right now? Where are you in production?
So we just finished unveiling, this was last year now, the flag from 9/11 that we actually found with our TV show. The sad part was, is even though the show did so well and we loved everything that we got to do, we found items that were lost to history. H2, which was History Channel's sister network, actually got rebranded to the Vice Network. So the network doesn't exist anymore. So we're still talking to them, trying to figure out what's next. We obviously love doing that. And then the other part that I spend my life doing now are these kids' books, where I get to take history. And with I Am Amelia Earhart and I Am Abraham Lincoln, I did I Am Rosa Parks. For my son who loves sports, I was like, you want a real hero? Here's I Am Jackie Robinson.
I love those books.
And my daughter who loves dogs and animals, I get I Am Jane Goodall. My youngest son is a creator and creative, loves to color. I did I Am Jim Henson, who created the Muppets. So with each of these books, the reward for me has been that ever since the election happened last year, we watched I Am Martin Luther King Jr., I Am George Washington. Those books just kind of took off. And the reason that they took off, it wasn't a Democrat or Republican thing. It was that there were parents and grandparents on both sides who were tired of turning on the TV and looking at politicians. What they wanted to show their kids were leaders. We all know there's a big difference between a leader and a politician. And I love that people use our books. You know, they don't just buy I Am Harriet Tubman or I Am Amelia Earhart, but they buy entire libraries and help build entire libraries of real heroes for their kids and their grandkids and their nieces and nephews.
Well, I want to thank you for everything, for joining us today, but I want to thank you for being Mr. Prolific, because every time I get a little tired of what's out there, I know there's another Brad Meltzer book or project or TV show right around the corner. And again, it's such a joy to congratulate you on your 20th anniversary with these books flying off the shelves. And this one is a great one. It's called The Escape Artist, and I know it's going to be a huge hit. And I thank you for remembering to stop by and see your old pal. I appreciate that.
Well, let me say this. 20 years, right? And you don't get here. There's one name on the cover of every book, but only a fool thinks it's a one-person show. So thank you, Jordan, for being one of the first people who took a chance on me. And whether it was kids' books or whether it was adult books or anything in between, always cheer me along. I only sit here because of your kindness. So thank you.
All right. We wish you the best, bradmeltzer.com. And let's do this again. This was fun.
Anytime. You know I'll be here.
You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced by Chart Productions. Just click the Jordan Rich podcast link at chartproductions.com for more. Please subscribe, download, rate, and review us on Apple and any other podcast platform. Hey, it's great to be with you as always. Thanks for listening. Have a terrific day.